most patent animal on the planet of the Earth. There is nothing more poisonous than that pretty little yellow frog. True. True. Now, we look at that little yellow frog and we say, ah, cute little yellow frog. That dead. And it's nearly that quick. You touch that little yellow frog with the end of your finger, get some slime because it ejects all this slime through its skin. And you get this little bit of slime on it, which is going to kill you. But if it's on the front of your finger, but there's no pores in the skin, and you wash it off quickly before you pick your nose, you can live, okay? If you don't, you're gone. Rub it with the back of your finger, you're dead. You might think, jump in the ute and head for the doctor, get antivenin. Sorry, you won't make it to the ute. Second, when you get to the doctor, there is no antivenin. This is one of the nastiest critters on the planet. This pretty little yellow frog. Now, when I think of frogs, I don't normally think of Philobates, Terribilis. I think of the old green garden frog, you know the one? Green tree frog, his right name is, but he gets everywhere. And like most frogs, he gets in places where he's not wanted and not supposed to be. Okay? Especially when it rains, okay? I used to get him in the septics when they used to make the cheap plastic septics. He used to sit on them. You know, some of us have had that experience. He sits on the float and makes the septic run dry. Anyhow, he gets in things, and last night I noticed again there he was when it started raining. Just been an annoyance. Okay? So there's all these different types of frogs, and some of them are not what they appear to be. Okay, let's leave our nature study behind us and skip on to some scripture about frogs. Now, there's two lots of scripture that I know of about frogs. One of them is in Exodus. I call them Mosaic frogs, and they're mentioned a few times. There we are on the board. Look at that. I was going to read that to you on the board. I'm sorry I can't do that. I'm going to have to turn around, but that's later. We get there, and Moses, who was 80 years old, was the leader of the Israelite people in Egypt when they were enslaved. And him and God got together and they worked out some way to get his people back to the promised land. Okay, we all know this story. It's nothing new. That's what happened. And God lined up with Moses and told him, tell that Pharaoh that if he don't let me people go, I'm going to land some frogs on him. So Pharaoh said, I'm not worried about a few frogs. Well, God sent the frogs. And when God sends frogs, he means it, you know. And they were everywhere. They were walking around squashing frogs all day long. And that would have been all right if they had gumboots, but they didn't. They had these leather strap things and the frog, bits of frog, and they walk around getting in between their toes and under their feet. Really nice stuff, eh? And this is only outside. Wait till you get inside and you try to cook something. They're in your oven and in your pots and pans. Go to bed. Even in the Pharaoh's bedchamber, there they were. You go to sleep, you're rolling over, squashing frogs, punk on the side of you, a big green frog. Now think about it. Just think of it. How awful is this? Well, it didn't take long to convince Pharaoh that it was a pretty daggy sort of thing to have. So he calls Moses up. Okay, he gets Moses up here to get rid of these frogs. Now, I'm not meaning to be rude, but I've got to turn me back on you so I can read this, because I'm not big on notes, as you've probably noticed. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people, and let the people go. I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me in this. This is a different passage to what I was going to read. Anyhow, it's the same one, but it's a different version, okay? Dictate when I shall pray to the Lord for you, your servants, and all your people, that the frogs may be destroyed from your house and remain in the river only. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And Moses said, let it be as you say. So when I first read that passage of scripture, I was a brand new Christian. I was off reading the Bible, first time. Boom. And I got to this and I thought, what a jerk. How's this dude? He can get rid of these frogs now, but he's going to hang on for a while. He never got his position as Pharaoh through his intelligence. He never did that. He inherited it. It was obvious right there. And I thought, come on, am I the only one here that thinks it was a jerk, a stupid thing for Pharaoh to do, to hang on to the frogs, or does somebody else agree with me? Only one, two of us, Gertie. Nobody else thinks that was a... Look, I'm going to say is... Let me put it another way. Is there anybody here who doesn't think that was a stupid thing? Ah, unanimous. It was a stupid thing for Pharaoh to do, okay? It was. He could have got rid of them frogs straight away. But no, he decided he wanted to walk around, squash them, get them in his toes, have them plonking on his face all night for a little bit longer. Why? No idea. I looked at this hard and long and I could find no reason why Pharaoh would do that. Okay? That was a stupid thing for Pharaoh to do. Righto, let's leave that behind us and march on down through history a few thousand years, and we turn up here in the Sandy Beach Baptist Church of a Sunday morning, listen to a fella talking to you about frogs. And this is where it gets interesting, you see, because some of you don't going to like me after this. We all get frogs. No, we all have frogs. We all have frogs. Not get them, we have them. We still got them in our life. And they're easy enough to get rid of. All you've got to do is say, mate, just get rid of the frog. But no, we decide to keep them for a little bit longer. And as we go through Christendom, after we come past the cross and give our hearts to the Lord and are born again, some of these frogs drop off slowly. Not all of them at once. That's a slow progression, getting rid of these frogs. And I want to help you today get rid of some of these frogs. Isn't that nice of me? All I want to do is help you get rid of some of these frogs. So we look at some of these frogs. Some of them we pick ourselves. We pick up ourselves. They look like the pretty little yellow frog and say, ah, it's a cigarette. Nothing wrong with that. 20 years later... Okay, this is what happens. You've all seen it. You've all seen this, what happens. And these people, they do not want this frog. They do not, shouldn't have this frog. But what do? They keep it a little bit longer. Just like that Pharaoh. It's a stupid thing. But they do it. Then there's gambling. Okay, gambling's another really bad frog. And it's half a little scratchy, pretty little thing, scratch, scratch. Yeah, I won $5, I'll buy a lotto ticket. Oh, good. On and on. I'll have a bet in the Melbourne Cup, just a little. Everybody does it, nothing wrong with that. Down the road, 10, 20 years, when his family's left you, and you've got nothing left, you've gambled it all away, and you wrap a rope around your neck and jump off a chair, you realise that these are not nice frogs. And they're easy enough to get rid of. People decide they'll hang on to them a bit later till they get on the chair and neck themselves. But there's a lot of frogs out there. There are thousands of types of frogs. Nobody knows how many out there. And a lot of them we pick up that are not our fault. They are not our fault. Some frogs are our fault, like gambling and smoking and heaps of other things. But some are not our fault. When we're just little peckers, you know, little ankle biters running around and things, we get hurt, we all sorts of things, and we carry that hurt, that pain, that disgust or whatever it is all our lives. We never ever deal with that issue. We never ever deal with that frog in our life. We just continue to take it. By the time we get to school, we've all lost something. We've lost a pet or a family member or a friend or something. It's not our fault that mongrel ran over me dog. But I've got to live with it for eternity unless I deal with that. That's just the way it goes. Simple, isn't it? It's just the way it goes. And we come into Christendom picking up all these things on the way. We go to school with the dunce of the class. Poor fellow, me. I can't do it. I can't do this math. And everybody looks down on us. We pick up frogs, rejection, all sorts of things. Hundreds and thousands of frogs that we pick up because of this. But what if we're the smartest kid in the class? exactly the same, different frogs. We get pride and arrogance. Frogs that we carry through life until we deal with them. Then we get in the sporting field. We can't keep up. We can't run as fast, swim as fast, jump as high, throw the pointy stick as far as these other kids. They all look down on us. But what about the fellow that can do all that? Captain every team, gets picked in every team there is. He's a captain every team there is. He's got the pride and the arrogance and looks down on you with disdain and all sorts of other frogs. And they just don't go away of their own accord. They are planted there by someone. Our battle is in our mind, remember? Who put it there? Might be Satan. Might be these things are all satanic in our heads. So we go on from there and we get to end of school and we start having romances. And anybody in here that's made it through that stage without getting their heart broken, good luck here, because I didn't. And then we carry these things into Christendom with us. All these frogs that we've collected, be our own fault or not, into Christendom with us. Here we are standing, we've given our heart to the Lord, we've got rid of all them sins, but all these frogs are still with us that we can peel off gradually as we get more mature in Christ. But while we've got them, there's something that's very, very important. We can never be the person God wants us to be while we're carrying these frogs around. It just cannot be. If it was, if we never had any frogs, we'd be good. But then there's only one that's good, isn't there? So we've got these frogs to stop us from being good. We drop them off bit by bit at a time as we go through and we mature. Now, I know there's people here thinking, oh, I got no frogs, man. Well, let me go a real sad story here at this time of year. Who remembers waking up early to spring Santa Claus? Is there anybody here that does not remember waking up early in the morning to spring Santa Claus? Oh, we're unanimous. Everybody did it. Of course they did. Everybody did it. Didn't they? Who was a good kid? Because we're only little picking anything like little anchor biters now, eh? Little things. And then some of our earliest memories hiding from Santa Claus and trying to find Santa Claus and being good so Santa Claus comes. You want me to stop sugarcoating it? Our parents lied to us. Our parents lied to us about Santa Claus, which was a big thing in our life. And when we found out about it, how did we react? Got a reaction. How did we react? I don't know how you mob react, but I'm going to tell you how I reacted. With rebellion, vengeance, and vendetta. True. Savage frogs. True. I said to myself, I'm going to tell my parents I still believe in Santa Claus so that I get more presents. Didn't mean to slobber over everyone. But that's the way it goes. True, isn't it? You can put your hand up if you don't agree with me so far. Don't you agree with me? Don't think your parents... Well, if your parents never lied to you about it, well, you've done well, okay? And we go through life, and this is where it gets really, really sad. We go through life wondering why our parents cannot relate to us. We go through life trying to work out some way to relate to our parents that started off our little ankle-biting lives with lies and deceit. They wonder why we don't do as they tell them. They wonder why we're just rebellious in their eyes. Because we've been taught that by them. And we carry everybody in this room that hasn't dealt with the issue of Santa Claus as carrying frogs. Simple, isn't it? It's no science wonder thing. It's a simple fact. If you're sitting in this church and you haven't dealt with the frogs from Santa Claus time when you were just a little pecker, you've got frogs. And with them frogs in your life, you cannot be what Jesus wants you to be. And Jesus died a miserable cross on a hill in Calvary so that he could take them frogs away from us. So he could take them frogs away from us. Yet we still decide we're going to keep them a little bit longer. What a sad thing. Oh, I know this is fairly factual, because when I started getting this message together, I got a tap on the shoulder. Hey, what about these frogs? Oh, no, not frogs. I haven't got frogs. Oh, yes, yes, boy, you got frogs, boy. And he pointed two frogs out to me that were just insignificant little frogs way back in me history that I didn't even care about. But he did. He did. And while I had them frogs in my life, I was not able to do this message. Simple as that. Simple as that. And I thought to myself, wow, okay, it's all okay. These frogs, I really don't want them. They're just hanging about. Get rid of them. Gone. That simple. That simple. And I thought, wow. And that's really sad, you know, that we can be start off our little lives, and our earliest memories, some of our earliest memories are our parents lying to us and deceiving us. What sort of life would we have had if that never happened? Definitely a better life. Definitely a better life. But it did happen. And you know something much worse? Sadder than all that. I mean, sadder than all that. We get old, have a family, put the pagan bush in the corner, light it all up, and put our kids through exactly the same crap. Exactly the same crap. Why? Ask Pharaoh. He's the first one that told me about it. Why? I don't know. Okay, so I'm just about, if I haven't convinced you about these frogs yet, I'm not going to, there's nothing I can do. So we'll just leave that there and go to another lot of frogs. There's another lot of frogs in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Can we have that one, please, Mr. Magic? And I saw three loathsome spirits like frogs leaping from the mouths of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of that false prophet. For really, they are the spirits of demons. Just the way it goes, isn't it? So if you haven't got me message by now, I've wasted me time and there's nothing else I can do to get that across to you. But there's one thing I do want to do before I get out of here. I want to blow a bit of harp at you, because that's what I do. And the little tune I've picked is an oldish one from 1855, written by a young Irishman in Canada to his dying mum back in Ireland. It wasn't ever supposed to be a psalm. It was supposed to be a poem. But somebody picked it up, ran with it, played music to it. And before he died, that fella, somebody said to him, "Is it really you that wrote that psalm?" And his answer really tickled me. "No, it was Jesus and me did it together." Okay, now, turn this off and go over here to this one. So, step one. It's all different than it was last time some of us know that, some of us don't. And that little hymn goes like this: "What a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thanks for listening to me, and God bless us all.